This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, on this day, as we recall the people acclaiming Jesus as their King, we pray that you will help us to continue to make Him King in our hearts, so that we will proclaim not only with our lips, but with our lives, that He truly is our King, He is our Savior, He is our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. The year was 167 B.C., There was an evil dictator. His name, Antiochus Epiphanes, that modern history books would equate with someone like a Saddam Hussein. He hated the Jews. As a matter of fact, he made it illegal for them to practice their religion. And if you did practice your religion and you were caught, you would be killed. He was a bad man. He went so far as to even take the Jewish temple, the most sacred spot for the Jewish people, and he set up an altar to the pagan god Zeus there, and to add insult to injury, on that altar he would sacrifice a pig. As you can imagine, it didn't go well with the Jewish people. They revolted. There was a man by the name of Mattathias who put together with his five sons, and finding all the weapons that they could, they started what in this day and age we would call guerrilla warfare. Mattathias died, and eventually his son Judas took up the cause, and believe it or not, within 3 years he was able to recapture and rededicate the temple. But the fighting continued for 20 more years. And following Judith and Jonathan, his brother, who both died in battle, came Simon. Simon, who had a gift for diplomacy, was able to negotiate a truce and was able to get sovereignty for the Jewish people that would continue for the next 100 years. Now here is where 1 Maccabees picks up the story and records it. Is this. Of course, there was a great celebration. On the 23rd day of the second month, in the 171st year, the Jews entered Jerusalem with praise and palm branches, and with harps and cymbals and stringed instruments, and with hymns and songs, because a great enemy had been crushed and removed from Israel. This was a great victory for the Jewish people. And Simon would have passed the story on to his children and grandchildren, who would have passed it on to their children and grandchildren, so that even down in the time of Jesus' day, this would be remembered as one of their greatest moments. And so when there is this triumphal entry into Jerusalem, there are all these allusions that those people would have to this event in their history. But there's a grave difference in what Jesus has in mind. Jesus has nothing in mind with a military victory. It has nothing to do with an earthly kingdom. It has, as we talked about these last weeks, has to do with God's kingdom, a much, much broader picture. Those of you who are reading along or in a small group with the Max Lucado series know that the theme this week in our Fearless series is the fear of global calamity. We had the donkey come in at the earlier service, and I said, well, that is my fear of global calamity every year when we have a donkey walking down the aisle in this church. We avoided the calamity again. But the question in terms of this gospel, that theme, I think, asks us to ask ourselves is this. In the fear of global calamity, how big is your globe? How big is your world? Because that, my friends, has everything to do with what Jesus is trying to accomplish here. To get us beyond the fear of the small stuff and to think in bigger terms about the bigger picture. It's not about an earthly kingdom. Jesus sees well through the palms to the passion. And in this version of the story that we receive from Luke, we get a great insight into what this fearless thing is all about. We can go back to Luke's first chapter. Chapter 1, verse 13. There's Zechariah and Elizabeth, praying forever to have a child. Finally, they're going to have one. The angel appears to Zechariah, and the first thing he says, "Do not be afraid." We jump 17 verses later. Mary is told by the same angel that she is going to be the mother of Jesus. First thing the angel says to Mary, "Do not be afraid." The shepherds, the angel appears to them. They're terrified. The angel comes, the first thing they're told, "Do not be afraid." We start to pick up a theme. And remember those words from that appearance when Jesus is there, "Peace in heaven, glory in the highest." Do we not hear that re-echoed in this gospel here today? There's this continuation throughout Luke of us being afraid and Jesus showing us how not to be afraid. When we begin listening to this gospel today, it says, after Jesus told them a parable. Do you know what that parable was? It is the parable of the talents. It's depicted in that stained glass window in that corner of our church. We know that parable. In Luke, it's called the parable of the pounds. The one man receives 5 talents or pounds. He invests it, makes 5 more, he's rewarded. The second guy gets 10. He invests it, makes 10 more, he is rewarded. The third guy, he gets 1. What does he do with it? He buries it. And what does he say? "I buried it because I was afraid." Now, I think there's some intentionality that Luke has Jesus telling that parable on the eve of this triumphal entry. Because it is Jesus who gets rid of all the risk and is totally unafraid, and he walks into Jerusalem unafraid. Did you notice in this gospel today, you know, we celebrate, we call this Palm Sunday. We have the palms to take home at the earlier service. The kids wave them and everything. You read Luke's gospel, there aren't any palms. Maybe there's something symbolic here. They say they took off their cloaks. Now, I'm glad when we acted this out, the kids kept their clothes on today. But metaphorically, perhaps the outer layers are what we need to remove. If we are going to go into Jerusalem with Jesus, perhaps it is that stripping of the outer layers so that we will be at a point in our lives where we can look at life as it really is inside of us and because of us and everything that we are dealing with in our lives in its raw sense and have a willingness to face that. Now, perhaps this Lent, if you chose a particular Lenten discipline and did something additional or cut something out that you usually do, perhaps the Holy Spirit has worked through that and God has been able to point something out to you in your life that God wants you to think about and deal with. This is where the fearless theme comes in. Are we willing to stop dancing around it, to stop acting like it's not there, and are willing to go into Jerusalem and deal with it? You talk about global calamity. Listen what Jesus has to say after he does go into Jerusalem. "When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. These things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, And in various places, famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs in heaven. Do not be afraid. When you think about what Jesus is doing here, he knows what it means for him to go to Jerusalem. Pretty soon after he goes in, he's going to turn the tables over in the temple. He's going to force all of those whose lives he has touched or he's tried to touch with the truth of what they need to deal with. He knows it is going to be difficult. He knows it is going to bring about his own demise. But he's willing to go there. I think in all of our lives, there is a Jerusalem we're called to go to. We're called to stop dancing around it, to go in and confront it so that we can truly live. There's a lady by the name of Anne Lamott who is a poet, and I ran across some quotes from her book, Tender Mercies, in which she talks about her own Jerusalem. And her own Jerusalem was her reluctance and fear of dealing with her grief. And this is what she writes. All those years I fell for the great palace lie that grief should be gotten over as quickly as possible and as privately. What I've discovered since is that the lifelong fear of grief keeps us in a barren, isolated place, and that only grieving can heal grief. The passage of time will lessen the acuteness, but time alone without direct experience of grief will not heal it. Mostly I have tried to avoid the pain by staying very busy, working too hard, trying to achieve as much as possible. You can often avoid the pain by trying to fix other people. Shopping helps in a pinch, as does romantic obsession. Martyrdom can't be beat. While too much exercise works for many people, it doesn't for me. But I have found that a stack of magazines can be numbing and even mood-altering. But the bad news is that whatever you use to keep the pain at bay robs you of the flecks and nuggets of gold that feeling grief will ultimately give you. A fixation can keep you nicely defined and give you the illusion that your life has not fallen apart. But since your life may indeed have fallen apart, the illusion won't hold up forever. And if you're lucky and brave, you will be willing to bear disillusion. You begin to cry and writhe and yell, and then to keep on crying, and then finally, grief ends up giving you the two best things, softness and illumination. For her, the Jerusalem she feared was grief. But it was only going there that she was able to get beyond her grief. It might be different for each one of us. It might be a relationship that needs to be confronted. It might be some destructive behavior that we've learned to discover that I am engaged in. It might be not doing something that I feel called to do, but I'm afraid. Look at the example of Jesus today. Showing no fear, he goes to Jerusalem and confronts it and ends up confronting himself, and in passing through death, he, like us, will be brought to life. In that gospel today, Jesus tells them to untie the colt. What is it in our life that we need to untie, that we need to take with us into Jerusalem and confront so that God can ultimately bring to us healing so that we too might move from death to life? Let us take that to our prayer.